from deep inside your radio.
Well, this will be easier. I have things to read this week. It's kind of back to subnormal, abnormal. But ladies and gentlemen, just a word to the wise. There's been a lot of talk in the last week and a half or so about looting. Before we get to that, I want to tip of the show chapeau to the good people of Gretna, Louisiana. It's been alleged in a first person account that's been going across the email wires this week, and now surfaced in the New York Times on Saturday. So I guess they went and checked it out. That a bunch of visitors to New Orleans during the recent and current unpleasantness, were first sent to the Superdome and or the convention center. I'm not sure which. I don't have it in front of me. It said, I don't think so. I went to a New Orleans police officer and said, what do we do? Where do we go? This is during the middle of the stuff, the flooding and its aftermath. And the police officer said, according to them, get on that bridge, by the way, that was open to vehicular traffic throughout, even though FEMA didn't know it. Get on that bridge, walk across the river to the other side. That's the West Bank. That's Gretna. There are buses waiting over there. They'll take you out. So they get on the bridge and start walking. And when they get to the, well, I don't know exactly where they got, they were confronted by armed, basically a roadblock across the bridge, and armed law enforcement officials from the community on the other side, shooting over their heads, saying, no buses. I don't care what he told you. Go back. You're not coming over here. So I'll be sure to shop Gretna in the weeks and months to come. That's the name of the community over there. Hello, Gretna. Goodbye. But anyway, you've heard a lot about looting in the last week and a half. Stay tuned. If you want to see looting in New Orleans and southern Louisiana and Mississippi, just as the cameras turn away and our attention wanders, just keep paying attention to that area. Because of three words, no bid contracts. Yes, the success story in Iraq is about to be replicated in our own southern Gulf Coast area. You want to see looting? You ain't seen nothing yet. Hello, welcome to the show.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
from the edge of America, from the quondam home of the homeless. Not Quonset, quondam. I'm Harry Shearer. Well, look it up. I had to. I'm Harry Shearer welcoming you to this edition of the show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, because it's been a while, news from outside the bubble. Iraq's President Jalal Talabani, Tom?
Jalal Talabani.
That's it. Urged the United States not to withdraw hastily from Iraq. Whew, that's a relief. And said U.S. forces should be reduced gradually over the next 2 years. Quote, not only would we need American forces to fight against terrorism, we need some of them to frighten our neighbors and prevent them from interfering in our internal affairs, Talabani said. Which neighbors? Not Iran. He said Iraq now has friendly relationships with the country with which it fought an 8-year war. Talabani did complain of interference from Syria, announcing they've tightened controls over the border with Syria. Meanwhile, even though you may have heard that, you might not have heard this. The United Nations, which is in charge of printing some 5 million copies of the new Constitution to distribute to Iraqi families before the scheduled referendum in October, says it has not yet received the final text. We're hoping to receive it at least by Sunday, says Nicholas Haysom, the UN official in charge. He insisted the United Nations needs confirmation that the delivered text is the official one. Confusion reigned in Baghdad this week about the circumstances surrounding the failure to deliver a final copy of the draft constitution to the UN, with some negotiators suggesting that different parties were seeking to present different texts. Which constitution would you like, sir? And Saddam Hussein's chief attorney denies that the ousted president confessed to ordering executions and waging a campaign against Kurds, in which thousands were said to have been killed. There was no confession by the president, and all the investigations in this case do not implicate him at all, says Khalil Dulaimi. Talabani had said that an investigator who questioned Saddam told him, Talabani, that he had extracted important confessions from Saddam and that the ousted leader had signed them. Talabani did not say whether Saddam had actually admitted to committing any crimes or had merely acknowledged that he was head of state and commander-in-chief of the army at the time of the various military operations. The lawyer complained about the conditions, as lawyers do. That's what you pay them for. The defense team, led by Saddam's eldest daughter, Raghd, R-A-G-H-D, I'd say fry him just for giving her that name, Raghd. You know, you want to marry her off, don't give her that name. Anyway, they believe Iraqi authorities want a quick trial without charging him with other crimes that could implicate other Iraqi politicians who are now in power. And the buried lead at the very bottom of this story. The defense team also says Washington's backing for the ousted leader, Saddam Hussein, in the past could come to light. What? He was our guy? How? Yes, he was. Till he wasn't. Till he became a monster. Till he took those monster pills. News from outside the bubble, ladies and gentlemen. It's nice to know. The Independent in London points out that it's not just New Orleans where local officials may seem paralyzed in the wake of a disaster. 4 years on, the empty pit that Ground Zero has become in New York remains a place of crumbling cement and weeds clinging to ledges and crannies, the Independent reports, as squabbles about priorities for the site remain unsettled. Politicians have tried to put a brave face on the absence of progress. Most significant has been the holdup in the construction of the Freedom Tower. It has been delayed by disputes among architects and a recent redrafting of the blueprint to make it less vulnerable to future attacks. The problems were acknowledged for the first time last week by Mayor Bloomberg, although another $10 billion would be spent on construction at Ground Zero in the next 6 months, more might be necessary. Given the magnitude of the project, he said, the progress probably wasn't adequate. A new and highly emotional dispute has opened over plans for a cultural center at Ground Zero that will incorporate the International Freedom Center Museum and an art gallery called the Drawing Center. It's sort of a center. Some families of victims of 9/11 have launched a campaign to have the Drawing Center excluded, claiming that it plans to show artwork not directly related to the terror attacks. Officials of the Drawing Center said they will offer exhibits showing other great moments of sacrifice and loss in American history. Families, some of them, complained that such exhibits are inappropriate and would detract from the main reason to visit the site to ponder 9/11 and those who died there. Freedom's a nutty word anyway, ladies and gentlemen. Pentagon officials told the Washington Post that anyone who joined Sunday, that's on this day this is broadcast as originating, 9/11 Memorial Freedom Walk without first registering would be arrested. The route is lined with 4-foot-high snow fencing. Park police will keep out interlopers into the Freedom Walk, ladies and gentlemen. Remember what I told you about the parade in which I participate on Mardi Gras Day? And there's no fencing, and you just walk right in. But that's not a Freedom Walk. That's just a parade. This is a Freedom Walk. Hundreds of officers are patrolling the route on foot, horseback, motorcycles, and in a helicopter. That's where they are. Anyone who joins the march or the subsequent concert on the mall, according to Park Police Chief Dwight Pettiford, without a permit and refuses to leave will be arrested. The media also won't be allowed to join walkers on the route. They cannot be embedded. One place they won't be embedded, aside from their beds. Walkers had until 4:30 Friday to register. There is no... This almost sounds like I wrote it, ladies and gentlemen, but there was no walk-up registration for the Freedom Walk in Washington, D.C. Freedom makes you proud, don't it? Won't it? One of these days? Don't have the theme music for Let's Get Scared this week, but a true Let's Get Scared item comes also from the British newspaper, The Independent. As we learn, by the way, that the guesses at the death toll in New Orleans appear to have been very high. A pattern repeated from 9/11 itself, when, if you may remember, the original guesses at the death toll were significantly higher, not to disparage or minimize the death toll that did occur, but the original estimates were much higher than would eventually happen. I don't want to get into the game of comparing 9/11 to Katrina, but as I recall, they didn't play NFL football the Sunday after 9/11. But anyway, this is from the Independent in London, in the Let's Get Scared department, because maybe this won't happen. Toxic chemicals in the New Orleans floodwaters will make the city unsafe for full human habitation for a decade, a U.S. government official has told the Independent. And he added the Bush administration is covering up the danger. Well, I hope none of this is true, for many reasons. In an exclusive interview, Hugh Kaufman, an expert on toxic waste and responses to environmental disasters at EPA, said the way the polluted water was being pumped out was increasing the danger to health. The pollution was far worse than had been admitted, he says, because his agency was failing to take enough samples and was refusing to make public the results of those it had analyzed. Inept political hacks running the cleanup, he says, will imperil the health of low-income migrant workers by getting them to do the work. He compared New Orleans to island nations such as the Maldives, which are threatened by rising sea levels. No, sorry. That's somebody else did that. Few people, says the paper, are better qualified to judge the extent of the problem than Mr. Kaufman, who has been with the EPA since it was founded 35 years ago, helping to set up its hazardous waste program. He's now a senior policy analyst in the Office of Solid Waste and Emergency Response. He said the cleanup needed to be the most massive public works exercise ever done, saying it will take 10 years to get everything up and running and safe. He said the Bush administration was playing down the need for a cleanup. The EPA has not been included in the core White House group tackling the crisis. Its budget has been cut and inept political... All the money for emergency response has gone to buy guns and cowboys, which don't do anything when a hurricane hits. We were less prepared for this than we would have been on the 10th of September. He said the water of 2001, he said the water being pumped out of the city was not being tested for pollution and would damage Lake Pontchartrain in the Mississippi River and endanger people using it downstream. Well, hello. They're putting it into the lake. They're not filtering it. This was obvious the minute they announced that's what they were going to do, because what else were they going to do? Here's my plan. Shoot that water into space. Maybe a little late for that. But yes, it's going to go in. That's a big lake. We got those pollution-eating bacteria, don't we? Don't we have those yet? Can we get those? I'm going to work on those. Ladies and gentlemen, questions have been asked about why President Bush was so slow off the mark to come back from his vacation to just do that Air Force One flyover rather than visit the site immediately, as he did in the case of 9/11. And it seems to me the answer is, again, just four words, five words, sorry. Who's counting? Karl Rove was on vacation. This is what happens when they do things like that. But this president has shown, whether extemporaneously or by design, shown a genius, wait, for the iconic statement that lingers as a self-referencing rebuke. I think the first example of that, of course, was mission accomplished. But now we have this.
They're working 24 hours.
Well, we have this. If we started from the beginning.
Again, I want to thank you all for, and Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. The FEMA director's working 24 hours. They're working 24 hours a day.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. Notice, let's play that again. Just notice there are some chuckles when he says that.
Again, I want to thank you all for, and Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. The FEMA director's working 24 hours. They're working 24 hours a day.
Now, maybe they're just chuckling at the use of the nickname. I'd like to think so. And then I'd like to think not, that somebody there was seized by the ludicrousness of the statement, even at the time. Anyway, it is going to be iconic. Some notes about all of this. The Sunday newspapers have been full. The Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, the New York Times, Knight Ridder newspapers have all done very, very long stories about trying to put together the pieces about what happened and why. Some random pieces of this puzzle. As early as Friday, August 26, as Hurricane Katrina moved across the Gulf of Mexico, officials in the Watch Center at FEMA headquarters in Washington, this is the Friday before the hurricane hit, officials at FEMA discussed the need for buses. Someone said, quote, "We should be getting buses and getting people out of there," unquote, recalled Leo V. Bosner, an emergency management specialist with 26 years at FEMA. Others nodded in agreement, he said. Quote, "We could all see it coming like a guided missile," Mr. Bosner said of the storm. "We, as staff members of the agency, felt helpless. We knew that major steps needed to be taken fast, but for whatever reasons, they were not taken," unquote. parenthetically, Amtrak said they offered, since they were deadheading trains out of New Orleans to take evacuees. Mayor Ray Nagin denies they ever made that call. But trains would have been a good idea. Richard Falkenrath, a former Homeland Security advisor in the Bush White House, said the chief federal failure was not anticipating that city and state responses would be so compromised. Communications went down immediately. New Orleans police communications went down. Communications between and among state and local agencies went down. Falkenrath, former Homeland Security advisor in the Bush White House, said the response exposed, quote, false advertising, unquote, about how the government had been transformed since September 11th. Frankly, Falkenrath said, I wasn't surprised that it went the way it did, unquote. Now he tells us, where were you 2 weeks ago, sir? False advertising? Too strong? Here's the preface of the national... I'm not going to read you the whole preface. Relax. Here's a quote from the preface of the National Response Plan signed into law by the president December 2004, unveiled January of this year. Quote, the end result is vastly improved coordination among federal, state, local, and tribal organizations to help save lives and protect America's communities by increasing the speed, effectiveness, and efficiency of incident management, unquote. Which just goes to prove nobody reads prefaces, except me. I just did. FEMA did issue this news release. This was issued by Mike Brown, FEMA chief, on the day the levees failed, or at least on the day that they were aware the levees failed. Now there's information the levees may have failed earlier than we were told, as early as the morning of the hurricane's landfall, which suggests that the during the hurricane, understandably, the Army Corps of Engineers wasn't walking around inspecting the levees. But 4 hours later, when the hurricane passed, apparently they did, but the news of the levee breaches moved slowly. Anyway, on the day the levees were publicly acknowledged to have failed, a news release from FEMA urged fire and emergency service departments outside the area, outside the immediate New Orleans area, quote, not to respond, unquote, to calls for help from counties and states affected by the hurricane, quote, without being requested and lawfully dispatched by state and local authorities under mutual aid agreements, unquote. Some of that. Getting the T's dotted and the I's crossed. And this from Jefferson Parish. Now, Jefferson Parish is the mainly white suburban parish to the west of New Orleans. The president of Jefferson Parish, who's the county executive, Aaron Broussard, guy who cried on Meet the Press last week, he's better now. He's angry. He said the bureaucracy had murdered people in the New Orleans area. Quote, Aaron Broussard, take whatever idiot they have at the top of whatever agency and give me a better idiot. Give me a caring idiot. Give me a sensitive idiot. Just don't give me the same idiot.
sun lights the day, and the moon lights the night. The struggling man keeps reaching for the higher heights. So we plan for tomorrow as we live for today. Like a flower we bloom, and then later fade away.
Calling for better idiots all over the world. I'm Harry Shearer, and this is Le Show. And you know by now that FEMA Chief Mike Brown has been relieved of his duty to supervise the hurricane aftermath, because now we've all seen, in the words of the UPS commercial, what Brown can do for us. He's still head of FEMA. The statement by Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff announcing the change said that he was sending Mike Brown back to Washington because there are going to be other hurricanes to deal with. That is so reassuring. As is this.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
Brownie, this is for you. So many thousands flooded out of their homes. No way to know unless you turn some kind of knob. But you stood real tall. Your shirt was pressed. Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
A heck of a job. A job. Folks trapped in the dome, the convention center too. No food to beg or borrow or rob. Only Sean Penn and Geraldo could get to the scene. Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
It's hard work to do much more than you can. You're not a general or an expert. You're only a man. Folks say we weren't ready, we didn't have a plan. But it's time to shuck right down to the cob. There wasn't no way to be knowing the hurricane was blowing. Brownie, that wasn't even part of your job. Job, you did your best, old friend. We owe you thanks. I can't say I'm not choking up, holding back a sob. But you'll still have a big old desk and a paycheck to match. But Brownie, you did a heck of a job.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
In fact, Brownie, you did one hell on earth of a job.
Peaches, cream, and honey. Just when everything looked bright and sunny, suddenly the cyclone came. I'll never be the same till the sun comes. That rain stops beating on my window pane. If my heart holds out, let it rain and let it pour. It may not be long before there's a knocking at my door. And you'll know the one I love walked in when the sun comes
out. Ladies and gentlemen, lest you think that FEMA was totally unprepared for disasters and emergencies, this arm upraised, totally legit, this from the FEMA website.
Disaster. It can happen anywhere, but we got a few tips so you can be prepared for floods, tornadoes, or even a quake. You gotta be ready so your heart don't break. Disaster prep is your responsibility, and mitigation is important to our agency. People helping people is what we do, and FEMA is there to help see you through. When disaster strikes, we are at our best, but we're ready all the time because disasters don't rest.
Now you know that's real because nobody even doing that as a joke would use mitigation. It's one of those lyrics. So FEMA had a rap, if nothing else. Now, Ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Prime Minister Tony Blair apologized this week to British folks who complained about lack of support from the Foreign Office after their Hurricane Katrina ordeal. Speaking in Beijing, Blair said, "It's been really tough for people, I know that, but it's been tough for our officials on the ground." The Foreign Office claimed British diplomats have been unable to get into New Orleans until last Sunday. More than 20 diplomats have been willing to go, but requests for permission from the U.S. State Department and the Louisiana state government have been repeatedly rebuffed. An estimated 400 Britons were accounted for earlier on last Sunday, but this later fell to 130, and the Foreign Office expects it to fall further. Blair said, "I'm really sorry if there have been difficulties about this, but I can assure you that some of these staff have been working around the clock, and it's been a very difficult and confused situation. It's been difficult for them, the state, as well as the people for whom this has been a catastrophe." Although journalists have been going in and out of New Orleans, the Foreign Office spokesman said the journalists had a choice, but, quote, "we have to work with the U.S. authorities, and we were told no one was getting access." Labeled by two former employees as an abusive boss with a bad temper, Salt Lake City Mayor Rocky Anderson took the unusual step this week of issuing a statement that said, in part, "I'm sorry." He never used their names, but the one-and-a-half-minute message was directed at Dita Seed and Christy Cordwell. Anderson fired Seed as his spokeswoman. Cordwell, the mayor's longtime assistant, quit soon after on the same day. Quote, "If I became impatient, if I became frustrated, if I said or did anything that hurt or caused anxiety to anyone, I'm sorry," said Anderson, who didn't take questions from reporters. That's going to be my policy. It seems to work for so many folks. Back to Britain, the BBC has issued an apology over the program Bring Your Husband to Heel after receiving complaints it was sexist against men. The BBC Two show featured dog trainer Annie Clayton using her techniques to teach women how to modify their husband's behavior. The corporation said the show plays on the long-standing stereotype of wives nagging husbands about their failings, but it accepted that some viewers found the program inappropriate. One viewer called it insulting to men and insulting the intelligence of women. Another called it sexist, degrading, insulting drivel. The premise of the show sees Clayton tackle stereotypical husband problems such as computer addiction and failing to do chores. The BBC responded to the complaints by saying the program was intended to be humorous, using a unique method of instruction. Those unique methods of instruction are always humorous, ladies and gentlemen, take it from me. There were red faces at CBS this week and profuse apologies after the network broadcast a rerun of The Price is Right that included a showcase prize package featuring, yes, a trip to New Orleans. You and a guest will fly a round-trip coach from Los Angeles to New Orleans for a six-night stay at the Renaissance Pere Marquette Hotel within walking distance of the French Quarter. In the final moments of the show, originally aired in December, the contestant overbid on the package and thus didn't win the trip. After the episode aired in most of the country, mortified network executives killed it for the West Coast. CBS spokeswoman Beth Haken said trips to New Orleans are frequently offered as travel prizes on The Price is Right. "Out of consideration for the victims of Hurricane Katrina, we made every effort to pull all repeat episodes from circulation that feature trips to New Orleans. However, this one was unfortunately overlooked. Our thoughts and prayers are blah, blah, blah." And Ocala, Florida, Dateline. Tammy Coggins returned to her Majestic Oaks home after a weekend in Atlanta and found the welcome mat pulled out from under her good intentions. While communities throughout Florida and elsewhere are welcoming Hurricane Katrina's storm-weary survivors, Coggins and others in her 500-home subdivision were told by their homeowners association that their deed restrictions prohibit them from doing the same. A flyer distributed by the homeowners association said that rather than allowing additional families in the community, residents were encouraged to contribute to hurricane and relief funds. On Tuesday, during an open, contentious meeting, more than 60 residents packed the community room at Freedom Library. There's that word again. Maybe it's French library, and they just... Maybe this was a French walk today. That's why... residents packed the community room to express their dismay over what many termed a disgraceful and embarrassing response to mounting efforts to help hurricane victims. Board member Christine Beers, teary-eyed and visibly distraught, stood and apologized to the crowd, saying, "I, for one, am very sorry." Though the full board followed suit and unanimously apologized for what one member called a knee-jerk reaction, well, he's half right, and another said was jumping the gun, the warning remains in force. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen. It is so copyrighted. It is so copyrighted, it hurts. You know that one of the lubricants that greased the skids under FEMA Director Mike Brown's tenure as head of Katrina aftermath operations was a report by Time Magazine this week that followed on plenty of reporting in the past that the previous reporting had been that his last job before FEMA director, and well, his last job was deputy FEMA director, but before he went to FEMA, Mike Brown was head of the International Arabian Horse Association and was asked to resign from that job. So if you're not good enough to run a horse show, you are good enough to run emergency man. Anyway, Time Magazine this week reported that other aspects of Mike Brown's resume had been, shall we say, creatively doctored to sound more impressive than they actually were. And it was on the heels of that reporting that the gentleman was asked to take his seat. But, you know, Rudy Giuliani went on from his experience at 9/11 to now helm a very prestigious and lucrative consulting firm. I'm betting Mike Brown lands on similar feet.
Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you get the promotion?
No.
Not again.
He said he liked me, but my resume just wasn't good enough.
Oh, isn't there anybody who can help?
Hi, I'm Mike Brown, and the answer to that question is a big, loud yes, indeed. There's no reason you should let a poor resume stand in the way of a better life. That's why I started Mike's Resume Chalet. You go to a dentist to fix your teeth, so come to me to fix your resume.
Resume Chalet has a crew of trained resume writers. Their one and only job, to turn little ones into big ones. To turn today's lemons into tomorrow's lemon souffle.
I wouldn't put my name on the door and on the Bahamian Limited Partnership if these proven techniques hadn't done for me what they're gonna do for you. So, even if your resume's a disaster, I can handle it. Believe me.
Honey, did you get the promotion?
No. The boss liked my resume so much, he gave me his job. Thanks, Mike's Resume Chalet.
You can't go wrong with Mike's Resume Chalet because of the Mike Brown Guarantee. If your new resume doesn't get you a better job, a promotion, or a whole new career, your money will be refunded via debit card, available at a major sports complex near you.
I'm Mike Brown. Tell me I sent you. And don't let your past get in the way of your future. See you at Mike's Resume Chalet, the place to go if you want to go places.
Mike's Resume Chalet, cosmetic surgery for your career.
I'm getting tired.
Now, quickly, ladies and gentlemen.
Los Angeles Dog Trainer Corrections for you.
In a commentary August 13th about weapon systems, it was incorrectly stated that the SS-774 Virginia-class submarine was intended to combat the next generation of Soviet submarines. It should have said Russian subs, since, of course, there's no Soviet anything anymore. A critic's notebook on Tutankhamun and the Golden Age of the Pharaohs said that Egypt had denied U.S. requests to display the tomb treasure before 1976. In fact, more than 30 Tut artifacts were exhibited by the Smithsonian in 1961. A caption with an article about cell phones in Thursday's calendar weekend said a custom tropical faceplate was done for a BlackBerry. The device shown was a Trio. An article about Labor Day auto sales in the business section said prices on 2005 Dodge Ram pickups had been reduced as part of General Motors' discount program. Dodge is made by Daimler Chrysler, not GM. A list of the keys to the UCLA football game in the sports section said UCLA didn't punt in its victory over San Diego State. The team punted once. And an article in Wednesday's sports section said that player Leighton Hewitt is from Argentina. He is from Australia. Los Angeles Dog Trainer Corrections for you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USN 440 cable system in Japan up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz around the world through the facilities of American Forces Radio and available on your computer at two different locations. HarryShearer.com and KCRW.com, live and archived whenever you want it, available on Channel 108 on Sirius Satellite Radio, and available as a free download at www.audible.com/LeShow, and available as a podcast from KCRW.com. It's oh so available, and it would be just like us all doing a heck of a job if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? All righty, thank you very much. Email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack, a tip of the Le Show chapeau to the Pittsburgh, San Diego, and Chicago desks. Le Show playlists available at harryshearer.com. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the quantum home of the homeless.